Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Today is Friday, November 23rd, 2007. Today's episode is 26, Heaven's Order. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 26, Heaven's Order. Scriptures quoted within the message are Joel 2 and 8. The message, Heaven's Order, was originally recorded May 25th, 1984. I am your host, Janine, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You can make an audio comment. The number is 1-715-808-0318. Or send me your comments, questions, and suggestions to janine@pastorpaul.org. Or make a comment at the blog. That address is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And join the Pastor Paul community at www.pastorpaul.org. We are becoming an online social network. Connect to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, and Twitter, and you will find those interactive links at www.pastorpaul.org at the top of the page. Pastor Paul's mission, food distribution to needy people, is located in the historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue in Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You can send us a check or make a U.S. tax-deductible donation on our homepage. Special links referred to in the Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 26, Heaven's Order, will be located at the blog in the show notes. You can download the message at the blog and be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Be sure to listen. Without further ado, here is Pastor Paul's message, Heaven's Order.
Heaven's first law is order. Heaven's first law is order. We're in an age where there's hardly any order at all. An age of nervousness. An age of fear and frustration and doubt. What an age. An age of, I've got my rights, and everybody's got rights. And everybody's raising their hands. We were talking about it this week. I says, they got the gay rights, and they got the Italian rights, and the Greek rights, and this rights, and everybody's rights, and the women's rights, and the lesbian rights, and the female rights and the male rights, and everybody has got their rights. We're in an age of rights movements, and people are rebellious. Oh, yes, they are. No home church, wandering all over the place. Some of those that are in bodies, but they're not producing. Simply dead weight, sluggards, uninterested. You're hearing what I'm saying here tonight? It's like having an arm, you see, and it doesn't want to join in with what the body is doing. And so it's just hanging there, just doesn't want to work. This arm is doing everything, and this arm over here is out of order, doesn't want to do anything. Every once in a while it decides it wants to do something. You got to pull it down. No, that isn't what to do. You know what I'm saying? That's how people are. They're part of a body, but they're unruly. They don't want to work with the body. They want to do their own thing. Huh? They're out of order. Say amen, somebody. And even you can be out of order sitting here tonight in your mind. Out of order. They should put signs on there like they do the Coke machine. Out of order. Closed for repair. Do not insert your coin. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. You won't get nothing in return. Out of order. A lot of times we come to church and our brain is out of order. When our brain is caught up with the things of the world and with the frustrations of the world and our little mads and our little paths and I want to get evens, we're out of order. Say amen, somebody. When a family is into feuding and fighting and fussing all of the time, they are out of order. They are out of God's order. When the man has to play the part of the woman, then things are out of order. When the woman has to play the part of the man, then things are out of order. Out of order. God is a God of order, and that is heaven's first law, is order, and nothing will happen. Until you get in order, until your life is in order, nothing will happen for you. God is a God of order. Are you orderly in your minds tonight as I minister the word? Or are you wandering around in your mind? Are you hearing this tonight? And I think that lawlessness is on the increase. Oh, yes, it is. I'll tell you one thing about Satan, though. He can tempt you, and he can tease you, and he can lie to you, and he can deceive you, but the choice is yours to obey or disobey. All he can do is make suggestions to you. If it doesn't line up with God's order, don't listen. It's a voice from hell. Say amen, someone. Oh, and how we try to skirt around God's order and say, I would do this if you would do that. And nothing happens when we're out of God's order. Say amen, somebody. Yes, but if it was this way or that way in my home, then I would do this and this would happen. No, I wouldn't. You're out of order. And so tonight we'll look at heaven's first law, order. That's Joel 2:8. Neither shall one thrust, let's use the word, neither shall one crowd another. They shall walk every one in his path. I saw a show sometimes back. It was about the locusts. Now I was amazed beyond measure with the marvelous regularity of their advance. Oh, I thought. And Solomon says, the locusts have no king, and yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. And I thought, glory to God, what a wonderful thing. The locusts here have no king. These little pests have no king, but they go forth and they go in ranks and they go in bands and they are in order, perfect order. And I started to wonder, how can such a small creature, so insignificant in size, of such little intelligence, have such order, both in its flights for miles, hundreds, thousands of miles, and as devouring machines? And I thought to myself, there is no human army, even 1/1,000,000,000th in its size, that could march and have such total order. They follow in perfect order, mile after mile after mile after 100 miles, 10 miles apart, and they eat everything, and they're right in order. They shall march everyone on his ways, says the prophet, and shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust, and I'll use the word, neither shall one what, say it? What? Thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. Neither shall, let's use the word, crowd one another. And I thought, isn't it strange that those who are unorderly and lawless want people to bend to them in an orderly fashion? Use you as an example. There's a young man that comes in day after day after day. I should say he's 35, maybe even 37 or 38. And every day he comes, he makes it a point of coming in late for dinner and a point of coming in late for supper. He has no order in his life. But he wants you to fall into his unorder because he thinks that's order. So wait a minute. I'm coming in here and this is the house of God. I want to eat. But sir, we're putting everything away. We're washing the dishes. So he had you frustrated because you were in God's order. He was out of God's order, but he wanted you to fall into what he was doing because he had no order in his life. And isn't that the way of the world? They want people to fall into their unorder. Well, let's go out for a drink. They come in the morning, unorder in the office, certainly no order there. They go out, they're away from their phone right now. And that's, they've had their coffee and now they're away from their phone. What are they doing? What are all the government officials doing? What are all the people doing? There's unorder in our country. But about 11:45, everybody disappears and goes down to the rusty toenail. They come back about 2:00 in the afternoon. Certainly then, and by then, they're out of order. And they want you to fall into their order when they call that 10 minutes. They are working and you're not there. They say, where were you? I've been trying to get you all day. Or maybe they'll ring you up at home. Where were you? And it's 12:00 at night. Man, that's not order. Or maybe they ring you every hour of the day. They're out of order. Come to church. Get involved. Stop using the phone. Get in order. A lot of times people want personal ministry and they'll call at 3 a.m. I just called up to see what kind of condition your condition was in. Well, my condition right now, friend, is crabby. Goodbye. You are out of order. Say amen. It's time God's people got it on that we have a God of order. How many hearing this? Come on. How many know you have to have order in your homes? Do you want disorder in your homes? You want your children to run your home? Say amen, someone. Am I hitting you here tonight? Glory to God, you listening on the radio, you need to be hit between both your eyes. A lot of times you are out of order, especially if you only listen to the radio. You're out of order. Especially if you're a TV freak. You're out of order. If you only go to church by the TV, the boob tube, you are out of order. God has an order to his things. But isn't it strange that those that are unorderly and lawless want people to bend to their unorderly fashion? When you don't, they become very angry. Oh, you don't love God. God, it's only 3 a.m. I should be able to call you at any time, brother. And it's something so frivolous, I cannot believe it. My brain can't comprehend it. I'm in a fog, and I'm thinking to myself, what is this on the other end of this line? Something from another planet? But going on, I considered this very remarkable fact of the insect life. The ant. How many like those shows where they show insects? I just love them because it's so much order in it. And the termite, oh, they had a wonderful termite story on one time. Oh, I tell you, it had so much glamour and so much power, and they had these, oh, there was victory in it, and they had these special ones with a great big fighter termites, you know, then they had to have other ones feed him, and I thought, oh, man, this is order. And the fly. And the roach, no, he's got order. You can't get rid of him for nothing. Now, the other day, bringing to mind here, I said, you know something, people get all excited about a roach, but the filthiest thing, the old fly flies all over and people think nothing, they just shoo him away. Here's a roach, and they hate that thing, but it's got more order in its life than we have. It's still living. You've tried everything imaginable to kill it. Why is it alive? It has order. And I started thinking of all these insects, and I thought, God, it's got such a beautiful way of having order in things. And I also thought about the complete order in the whole of God's world. I says, my, I thought, beautiful, God has got order in everything, and I thought the Christian church should have such order and such arrangement. Here God has trained this great insect army. And among them, order reigns. But this then of true is all of the hosts of God. They are marshaled in rank and file, and they are never left to be disorganized by mobs of forces. And I thought to myself, from the very smallest to the very largest, all the creatures feel the sway of God's order. Oh, I thought, how wonderful that these little creatures feel the sway of God's order, and they're in perfect time, and they're in perfect harmony with God. And I thought, how well they observe the laws given by God. And where'd you get this message? From a cockroach. Say amen, somebody. By observing the insect. No arguing, no rebellion, no shaking of their little antennas at God, or their claws, or their trunks, or their fins, or their flippers. Simple, beautiful swaying of God's beautiful spirit, and he starts to move them. And I looked up and I saw all these trillions and trillions and trillions of stars that God's got out there. All timed in perfect time, hallelujah. All turning in perfect order. I thought to myself, oh, I'm so glad that the sun comes up right on time. Aren't you? Oh, God's order. Oh, there's times when we want God's order, isn't it? Huh? When it fits our need. And we want God's order. Ooh, but praise God that we never have to fear that the universe will get out of gear. Or that our planet will leave orbit. Praise God for gravity, for the up and for the down, and for the two and two is four. And they even got people arguing that now. Are you sure that two and two are four? No, but I don't want to get into that. I got better things to do. Haven't you? So I thought, no matter what our profound modern thinkers say, two and two is still four. That's the way it is, and I'm going to go on with the Lord. How about you? I thought to myself, you know, everything that we make on this planet here, it ends up in the junkyard. It wears out, it squeaks, it wheezes, it sputters, it coughs, it falls over on its side and dies. Now, right, Mick? Mick works down there at Seal Power where they make all these engine parts. And what do you think he's doing? He's busy putting these parts in there that wore out. But not so with God's creation. It's running as smoothly right now as it ever has been since the time it was created. Hallelujah. Woo! And so would we be running perfectly if we wouldn't have got out of order. We'd be running perfectly if we didn't get out of order. Say amen, somebody. Woo. But I started to look at the birds and the fish, and I thought, aren't they wonderful? Oh, and how they observe the Maker's voice, and they live according to the rule and to the order. And I thought, yes, these fish and these birds, they have these God-built-in compasses, and they know when to go south, and they know when to go north, and they know when to lay their eggs, and they know when to spawn, they know when to do all these things. I thought, oh, my. In perfect timing with God's order. No, how we love to butt into God's order, I thought. Oh, yes, we do. Spraying everything. Ruining everything. Destroying the balance. Not too many years ago. In Australia, some 50 years ago, I guess, some pinhead brought in about 3 or 4 sets of rabbits. Now they overrun the country. There's nothing there to kill them. They broke into God's order, and so they built fences all around. You see that? Oh, we'll control them. They built fences around their fancy ranches and everything. But the little critters, they got little claws on there, and they got stronger and stronger and stronger, so they could crawl over the fence and get at their little lettuces and stuff. See? Because God is a God of order. And we try to unbalance things by doing things our own way. You know, when you can tell when someone's doing something their own way, they look glum. Are you hearing it? How many in here are looking glum tonight? Whoops, put her hand up in a hurry. At least you're agreeable. How many know this week they were out of order? And how many were really out of order this week? Well, I was. I just think that any kind of out of order is really out of order. Yeah, you know what I mean? If you just think it's a little, oh, it's just a little out of order. How can you be a little out of order? That's like having a car that don't quite run. I'll admit it. You were way out of order. If you're a little bit out of order, you're way out of order. Put your hands up. Say amen. I admit it. That's. I want to get fixed. How many of you want to get fixed? Praise God. Have yourself in order. And I'll put a sign on you. In order. Usable. There should be signs on some Christians. Out of order. Not to be used. Could be injurious to your health. Determined by the word of God that you're dangerous. But here we are, and we butt into God's order, and we destroy the perfect cycle of things and the perfect circle of God's works. We should leave them alone. There's a volcano that erupts. Oh, what happened? Oh, isn't that terrible? Isn't there some way we can overcome? It's all in God's order. God knew that Mount Helena, was it, was going to blow up long, long time ago. And you know what? It blew up right on time. And people were irritated because they got ashes on their car and they got out of order. Some were even so rebellious at God, they said, I'm sitting right here on the side of the mountain no matter what. And they sat there and they got buried in lava. Say amen, somebody. But you see, getting back to these animals, they all know their time and their place. And will fulfill the end of their being. All things are working together for good. Don't get into trifling over God's. Don't get into trying to figure everything out. I wonder why. And I wonder this. And if this would have happened, and this condition would have happened, and this condition, therefore, that would equal that. Huh? It doesn't work that way, does it? How many know it doesn't work that way? Then why do we keep trying it? Say amen. Why do we continually try God's order? All things are working together for God. Do we believe that? Never. Never. You believe it a little bit until it touches you. This certainly ain't working together for good. I feel lousy. Things are working together for lousy. That's what, huh? And we blame it on the devil. And we blame it on our husband. And we blame it on our job. And we blame it on our position. And we blame it on everything. But we will not admit that all things are working together for good, for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. We can't leave that one alone. We have to blame somebody. Oh, God, you don't know my life. My kids are regular hellions. Oh, they're out there drugging and drinking and swearing. And oh, their old mother has to take it, I tell you. Oh, God knows the suffering I've been through. Hey. That's why you're going through all that more suffering, because you are a bore, woman. Say amen, somebody. And hey, the kids end up hating you. Just sign them over. Give them to the Lord. He knows how to take care of them. You don't? That's pretty evident, isn't it? Say amen. Oh, I hope I irritate somebody listening to this radio. Praise God. All things are working together for good. Now, if you can say that and mean it in your heart, something's going to happen. God, I've handed these children over to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Now I just claim all things are working together for good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord and close the door on your mind. Don't think about it anymore. Don't dwell on it. Don't think about, oh God, look what they've done to me. When is it going to be over? Oh God, rapture me right now. I want out. I want out. I want out. I want out. Please, please. Oh God, take me out of it. And sometimes when I hear people like that, I agree with you. Please, Lord, take this person out. Don't you ever feel that way yourself? Yeah. I fight it all the time. Oh, God. But it's beyond me how people can be in the Lord Jesus Christ and be bored day after day after day after day. Oh, there can be little setbacks. There can be little depressions. But how can you be that way every day? Say amen. Now slap yourself if that's the truth. Come on, snap out of it. Ooh, are you hearing this message? I mean what I'm saying up here. I'm just tired of people being out of order. Aren't you tired of being out of order, tilt and all that kind of thing? But let's go on and let's rise up a little higher. There is also order in the providence of God. Now we look at man and all the killing he's doing all the time. Killing one another like fiends. Destroying whole nations. Abusing and hating and planning against each other. Pushing for position. Grabbing and clawing at the success ladder. Well, you say just right there what you preach. Is there any kind of order in that? Where's God's order in all that? Well, hey, friends, you're only 6 days old. You're only on your seventh year. 1,000 years is but a day to God. And man is only 6 days of God's timing old. And do you think, by the way, that everything is going to stand still for that little segment? No, sir. God is going to have his way in your life, whether you like it or not. Well, you might have heel marks all across the kitchen, floor there obeying God, but you're going to obey God in the end. Say amen. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, he cares so much, he's going to make you obey. But don't worry about it. God will have his way. You don't think God's going to have his way? What makes man such an egotistical, sophisticated rhetorician? What makes him that way? Snobs, in other words. Why do you think they have something that nothing else has? All creation is involved in obeying God. And we stand there haughtily saying, well, sometimes God's work is working. They're working, friend. Amen. They're working. Well, you sit there in rebellion, you just get more and more miserable. But God's law is working. Do you think you're going to stop it? Sometimes people actually think they do. Do you think because you disobey God, the sun isn't going to go up? Woo. No, it's going to go up, friend, and the moon is going to come up, and it's going to go down, and things are going to... Worry not, God will have his own way. See, the picture is far from complete. Eye hath not seen, it says, neither has ear heard what wonderful things God has in store for those who love him. So why do you weary in doing well? Oh, I wish I was gone. God, I wish I was out of it. Release me! Ooh, and stop wondering when the promise is coming and when he's coming. It's ordered and it'll come when it comes. Say amen, somebody. You have any? When you go to order your food at a cafe, when you order it, does it come when you think it should come? Hardly ever. It'll come when it comes. Say amen. And so it will be with your trials. They have an end as well as they have a beginning. And don't people argue with every trial? Why? What did I do? They even have a song like that. What did I ever do? Da da dee 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 do. Do do do. And the guy is sitting there with a guitar and boots on and a diaper. And don't people question suffering all the time? Don't they want to melt and mold every situation into their very own desired shape? Oh, it'll all turn out roses, I know it. By faith, I claim it. And God's trying to show them something. It's not going to be Garden of Roses. It's going to be walking over broken bottles and tin cans. Say amen, somebody. It's going to be walking through the dump, if you will. God is trying to show you something. But will you listen? No, you're out of order. So you just stomp through all the tin cans and cut yourself up all the worse. Never get out of the middle of it because you're so busy. I'll tell you right now, life is not a poem. All flowers and sweetness and laughing brooks and winding yellow brick roads. But I know one thing that it is. It's some fun. And it's some laughter, and it's some sorrow, and it's some unexpected tragedies. It's bright oranges and dark grays and pale blues and dirty browns. It's a painting, don't you see? Let's don't argue with the master painter. God is painting a picture. It's got all those colors in them. Don't argue with the painter of the painter that's painting your picture. It's ingrown toenails, and it's headaches and heartaches and days of total bliss and wonderful excitement. And you know what it's called? It's called That's Life. Oh, that's life. That's what the people say. Isn't that what they say? Feel hard luck today, better tomorrow. That's life. Isn't it? Are you surprised when a trial comes along? Are you, Bucky boy? Are you surprised? And when a little suffering comes, you go hide under your bed. And when you're a little nervous and fearful, do you just chew your nails all night and stay up? That's life. That is life. That's realistic. Expect those things to come because that's life. Would you like to change the order of things? You bet your life I'd love to change things. Or would you rather come under God's order? No, things are according and going according to God's plan. Say amen. From the cross until now, time is running out and it'll all come together in the end. How many know that it's all going to turn out in the end? Ooh. Now let's start to come down from these great things to ourselves. Oh, why'd you have to say that? I'm going to say it again. Let's start to come down from these great things, the things of order, the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and all these things. And let's get down to these from these great things to ourselves and depend upon it that all the events in our little lives are marching straight on to a gracious consummation. We are all marching towards God and for His glory. Whether you go in as a slop bucket or whether you go in as a beautiful vessel unto the Lord, you're all going to march and every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there's a slop bucket. Huh? And the child of God, I know, we all say, I know some of you saying, probably you thought today, maybe some of you listening to the radio, why this cross? I just had one, and right away another one. One day of peace and one day of joy, and now another cross to bear. Why this difficulty? What purpose is this affliction? Listen, I know one thing about afflictions. that your present affliction will be to your prosperity. Because it says your light affliction is but for a moment. What does that mean? I mean, you're afflicted. You don't have enough light. But that light affliction, when you don't have a lot of light, you see, you stumble into things. You get up and there's just a little teeny nightlight on there, and you bump into stuff. But your light affliction is but for a moment. Because there's a bigger light, and a bigger light, and a bigger light, and a bigger light, and a greater revealing, and all of a sudden you say, you know what? God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. That preacher made me so mad, I could have butchered him in the chops. But you know what? Now looking back on it, God knew what he was doing. I needed that message. I was a spoiled, liver-lipped kid. Why is it everybody thinks you're talking right to them? That's because probably that you are. See, your losses do not cause your loss. They really increase your riches. Oh, prove it to me, prove it to me, prove it to me, prove it to me. I'll prove it to you. Do you know what your riches are? Your life. Can you get any richer than that? Sitting right here, you listening on the radio, you that aren't born again, get born again because your riches and your pleasures are your life. You cash in, give your life, and you gain your life. If you weren't here, you would have no riches, but you have something to invest in the kingdom of God yourself. That's your riches. That's your true riches. Oh, say amen, somebody. Every time you take a breath, say, thank you, God, for these riches that you've given me. Oh, but just go on. More people, more and more now that I'm talking to, I say, hey, okay, that didn't work out. Didn't, what do we do? What do we do? It didn't work out. My God, we lost everything. We lost everything. We lost our house. We lost this. We lost that. I was a person of substance. We had this. But did it make you happy? No. Well, what are we going to do? Whatever will we do? I said, get up. Now what? Get going. Keep on going. Did God say stop? If God took this building and lifted it up off all of us folks and cast it way out there and we had no building, would we just stop? There's no building. Yes, there is. It's right here. Keep that thing going. It's a mobile temple. Did anybody say stop? Did God say when you march, to everybody pick up the building and carry it? Huh? Oh, I'll tell you, your riches are your person. Whoa, your riches are hidden in Christ and God. You are hidden in Christ and God, hallelujah. I mean, you're in a vault. March on. Well, what are we going to do, brother? March on. You actually sing to people like that? Yeah. There's a song like that. Through the wind and the rain, da-da-da-da-da-da, march on. Huh? Is there? What else can you do with folks when they've been Christians for 20 years and a little bit of a trial comes along? Whatever are we going to do? We can't trust God for nothing. Look, he let us down. Did he let you down? You're in the middle of this thing. How can you be let down when you're... The only way you can be let down is when you let yourself down and sit down. You know what I'm preaching about tonight? Myself. Myself. I came out of all these things that I'm preaching. Say amen. How long did it take you? Well, some things left right away and some things took a little bit of time. But it was all in whose time? God's time. Say amen, somebody. See, God has his way in the whirlwind and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Only be patient, friend, and wait, hallelujah, on him with childlike confidence. Well, how do you do that? When you wait on the Lord like a child. Do, 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 do. You're carefree. Do, 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 dee, do. Do, do. Does a kid worry? You wait there, I'll be right back. Okay. Do, 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 do. Do, dee, do, dee, do. Do, dee, do, dee, do. Do, dee, do. Huh? Do you do that or do you sit there, hey? When you coming? I claim you'll be here at 10 o'clock. That's it, as long as I'm going to wait. Is that confidence? Is that childlike confidence? But oh, I've been so presently surprised by the Lord so many times. I just love him so, because later on, you'll be astonished that there should have been such order in your life. What you thought was all confusion isn't confusion at all. It's all order. And such love when you thought it unkindness. Right? Oh, my. Oh, my. Trust in the Lord. Such gentleness when you thought, oh, how severe can you gonna be with me, Lord? Such wisdom in the face of such ignorance. And yes, the events of history march on as rightly as the victorious legion under a very skillful leader. Don't become disheartened. God knows what he's doing. Oh, trust in the leader. Hallelujah. You don't know the battle. You don't even know the course. You don't even know the enemy. Trust in the Lord. Say amen, somebody. Whoo, let us not question God's wisdom of that which happens to us, or think that we could order our affairs in a better style. Or maybe you're singing, into each life a little rain, much fall, but too much is falling in mine, huh? Yes, our good and our ill, and our joy and our grief all keep their places. Neither shall one thrust, and let's use the word crowd, another. They shall walk every one in his path. Don't try to get ahead of the game. Don't try to misstep, and don't try to outstep, and don't try to outmove God, and don't try to get too spiritual. Oh God, what does that mean? Sometimes people are so spiritual, they say, brother, do you ever pray? I say, I'm a walking praying machine. I pray all the time. I don't even answer that anymore. Say amen, somebody. Doesn't it say pray without ceasing? Well, you pray all the time. Yeah, a lot of times I'll catch myself saying, oh my God, oh my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. That's praying. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You walk in some place and your spirit is, ooh, God, help this person. Help this waitress. Look at the wages of sin is death. She's got great big black bags under her eyes. The Word of God says the wages of going out and drinking and drugs and committing adultery and all these things is death. And look at her. You take your order, please. Where were you last night? I don't know. I had a good time, but I don't remember where I was. But let's go a little higher. We come from the world of matter tonight, and we've entered into the world of living creatures and up to the world of intellectual beings. And now let's think of God himself. Yeah. And we may say of all his attributes for sure that neither doth one crowd another, but each one walketh in his path. Oh, he's orderly. Say amen, somebody. You can see it in all the stars and all the planets. You can see it out there. You can see it in the moon, see it in the sun. You can see it in the animals, see it in the birds and bees, and see it in all these different insects I've talked about tonight. You can see it all over. You can see it in the gravity. You can see it all the time, can't you? God is a God of order. that neither doth one crowd another, but each one walketh in his path. Let us tonight be careful when thinking about God not to think about only one attribute and forget the rest. Uh-huh. I know some folks that have a very sour disposition by the considering God only in the light of sovereignty. But there's more attributes to God. And that he is sovereign. His sovereignty, I believe, is the very most, the very greatest, the very deepest, the very most mysterious, the blessed truth. And we must defend it with all of our strength. But at the same time, absolute sovereignty is not the only attribute of God. And I think those that only keep their eye on that one attribute of God, the absolute sovereignty of God, keep their eye fixed on that to the exclusion of all other qualities, to the exclusion of all other prerogatives, that person is a very ill-balanced and has a very ill-balanced idea of God and are very likely to get very, very cold-hearted towards their fellow men. They'll pass it off and say, God is a sovereign God and you'll either go to heaven or you'll either go to hell. There's more attributes to God than that. Did you know that? That God can change his mind? Say amen, somebody. In this very sovereignty, he can change his mind. He has the royal law of love moving him. I never listened to this song before, but that was on the radio. Love. Da-da-da-da-da. Huh? And I thought, you know, most of that's true until they got to Love Boat. No, it was real great until they got to Love Boat, which is a sex field on water. But, I mean, it's just beautiful. The way it came out, love. It's all around, isn't it? And that's what God is all about. And his love is in everything. You can look at the ant, and you can look at the bee and the roach, and you can look at the trees and the birds and the bees, and you can look at all the things that are going around perfectly, and what's motivating and what's moving him? Love. What's moving you tonight? Love is moving you. Love is telling you to get up off it. Love is telling you to stop always complaining because I love you. Are you hearing this? But let's not forget, God has no pleasure in the death of sinners. None whatsoever. And on the other hand, some reflect on, God is good. God would never send anyone to hell, for God is good. Never, ever, ever. And I really don't believe if a person didn't go to Jesus and they were a nice person, that they would certainly go to heaven because God is good. But God is good, and I'll tell you one thing about God, he keeps his word. Either you go to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you most certainly will go to hell. A lot of times these folks that go around saying, well, God is good, and he'd never let anything happen to me. I mean, I'll probably get chastised and paddled, and maybe even get my diapers taken down and get paddled. But, you know, basically, God is real good. Basically. And the word says that the wages of sin are death. Just take a look around. Look at the alcohol and the drugs and the new drugs that will be coming. And look at the bodies and minds that have been ruined and wrecked. Look at the wages of sex sins. Abortion. Unwanted children. And AIDS. I got to thinking about that AIDS and I could not lay it down. I was sitting in a cafe and a young man, I said it before, I'll say it again. Young man was in there and he was with a whole bunch of other men there and they were salesmen. He says, hey, preacher, what do you think about this AIDS? Now, see here, people were saying it was the wrath of God on homosexuals, but now they found a cure for it. And it wasn't God's wrath. I says, God doesn't have to give his wrath towards that person. That sin is punishment enough. And I says, I'll tell you something else. I've yet to see a happy homosexual, really, truly happy. And that was the end of the conversation in that whole cafe. I didn't really say it that loud. It was almost like a whisper. But it was just like when that insurance company comes on, everybody's listening. What's the name of that insurance company? So-and-so's talking, you know. Huh? B.F. Hutton? E.F. E.F. Hutton, yeah. Well, this was J.C. speaking, Jesus Christ, you know. And everybody listens when the Holy Spirit's moving too, believe it. Oh, God. Sin has punishment, doesn't it? Oh, and I started thinking about this AIDS. I walked out of there and I thought, oh, I wonder why the media cooled that down. And they found a cure for it right away. You want to know why? They have found no cure for it. They say they've found they're in the move of it. Okay, that could take 20 years, so they can say that. Why? Because there was a panic happening in our nation. Well, someone waits on your table and they have a sore on their lip. And people start thinking, oh God, I don't want to eat this food. Or you look back in the dishwasher's back in there and he's got a great big sore on his nose. Oh, I wonder if he's got AIDS. And you see on TV where none of the other criminals would mix with the other ones in the yard, and this guy, they put him in like a bullpen. He had to walk back and forth because he had AIDS. The wages of sin is death. And don't you see right now there has to be things they cover up? That's right. Say amen. How many hearing this? That thing is not over yet. That thing is being covered up. That thing, they quiet, and you didn't hear nothing about it. They squelch it in the papers. You're not hearing it on TV anymore. And it was all up there, wasn't it? It's not dead. That thing is alive, and there's going to be a heavier disease than AIDS. It's going to take on a different nature, and it's going to be a killer. And let me tell you something the Lord showed me about that herpes. Right now, they have groups. Wake up! They have groups of people that have herpes. And they all meet together. Isn't that kind of sad? Isn't it kind of sad, though? And they all have to meet together. Why? Because they have something in common. Wake up! Well, I don't want somebody to sleep through this message. Amen. Are you hearing this? People, we're in a very spooky age. And why is it happening like this? We're out of order. Out of order. Our mind is out of order. We get out of town. Look around, the lights are flashing. Doo 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 doo. Girls. Da 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 da. Huh? You listening on the radio? You travel? You go out of town? Do you? The devil speaks to him. Well, go on in. Just have a Coke. But there's a spirit on the person, and they go in that bar, and they get inside there, and then there's a male or female spirit over there that knows their spirit, and the Bible calls them familiar spirits, and they just sort of, they know each other without knowing each other. Say amen. See, you have a choice. Either to pick up this porno books or lay them down. Either to stop going to these X-rated, R-rated, PG, whatever movies, or not. You have a choice. You can be tempted, but the choice lies with you. Oh, it was a good show. Oh, they only had about, I'd say, 10 swear words in it. And they only showed the people half naked, and your mind undressed them the rest of the way, fella. Enough of that AIDS thing, but are you hearing what I'm saying here tonight? We're up against a killer herpes virus that will be coming on pretty soon. It'll come on so heavy, it'll be a killer. A brand new strain. And that's just showing people they should not trifle with sin. And I think there's a lot of people that know just enough about the Bible to skirt around the truth. They will not use the term born again. I talk to some people and say, yeah, we believe in Jesus Christ, and we do this, and everything, but we're not born again. We don't use that. I says, you don't use it? You don't have to use it. What do you mean use it? Bible says you must be born again. I'm not asking you to use anything. I'm telling you what you have to do. You must be born again. No, we don't believe that in our church. We go along, we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but we will not be born again. We don't want to use that kind of language. Well, I said, that's probably because you can't claim something that you are not. And you don't want to claim it because you want to continue on in your very little sin. And you say, I can't believe a good loving God would punish me with hell fire. You better believe it. He will. And then I started to think of the great mercy of God towards sinners saved by grace. And I thought, oh Lord, you are so beautiful. And we're not perfect, but we're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And so let's go on. The various attributes do not darken, but they illustrate one another. Grace magnifies justice. Vengeance extols mercy. Righteousness meets with peace, and I believe love and kindness and holiness kiss one another. Are you hearing this? See, there is a blessed agreement in all divine attributes. Neither does one crowd another, but each walketh in his own path. I started to think about all the different doctrines, and many times they look like they contradict one another. We can look at our particular choice of doctrine so close, and we get cross-eyed looking so close at what we believe to be the truth. Isn't that right? Isn't that the battle is going all the time? We see no other way, and we become spiritually, nearsighted by choice. And isn't there always a gladiators going at it in the arena of truth over law and grace and law and grace and law and grace and which is right and which is wrong? Isn't there? Then we have those that try to systematize the word into a creed. But see, we need the whole counsel of God. Well, you say, how do we get it? The Bible says, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. Love God and love your neighbors and love yourself. When you start to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, love your neighbors, love yourself, then all the doctrines, the legal part of the doctrine comes in, and God explains what he means by it. And the beautiful love message and the grace message comes in, but there's a third thing that must come in, the blood and the life of Jesus Christ that puts the two together. See, if we only had one focal point, the Lord Jesus Christ, the law could be on one side and the mercy and grace on the other, and they all blend together like the three in one. Say amen, somebody. We don't have to argue all of the time. Remember, all truth is harmonious, but only God can fully write and fully understand the music. See, we don't know that. What do they call it in music? The score. We don't know the score. Only God knows and how to put together this music. Are you hearing this tonight? But we know neither doth one crowd another, but each one walketh in his own path. What am I saying there? The notes may go up and the notes may come down. They may be high and they may be low. But God conducts. God puts the emphasis on the different instruments. From the flutes of great peace to the drums of march forward. From the clanging cymbals of wake up to the harps of rest. And we just sing in tune, and God does the writing of the music and the conducting of the music. There's truths on both sides. But don't you see, we need the Holy Spirit to rightly divide the Word of God. You can be way over here, or you can be way over there. But see, when you're in love with God, and Jesus Christ is your only issue, it doesn't matter. You're not always arguing doctrine now. Are you hearing it? That's like two travelers were standing on the opposite sides of the statue, Minerva. One says, oh, what a beautiful shield that she has. And it's all made out of gold. And the other one was standing on the other side. No, it isn't. It's made out of brass. No, it isn't. It's made out of gold. No, it isn't. It's made out of that. And they started to stab each other. And they started to fence with one another. And they killed each other. And they both dropped on opposite sides. And they found out that it was a many-sided shield. They had one with gold and one with brass. And so it is with the Word of God. You don't know everything. You don't have to know everything. All you have to know is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And everything else will take care of itself. Yeah, but I'm so miserable. Getting back to misery. If there's somebody in here, I don't know where they are, but they're just miserable. Huh? Well, you can be that way for a while, but don't stay that way long, okay? You know why? It's contagious. You ever been around somebody that's miserable? Hear it. You ever been around a woman that's miserable? I mean, just miserable. Huh? And you know what they love? Company. You won't find it in me. No way. That loves company and it consumes everybody. And everybody, put the coffee pot on, I'll tell you all about my troubles. They have to consume themselves. Everybody has to be consumed in their misery. And what's my job? To shake them loose. To give them hope. To take them out of the dumps. Oh, yeah, so we go on with this threefold lines. I'm closing. These threefold lines run through. And yet, they're three, but they're one. It's like the Godhead. Perhaps maybe you're only seeing two of the lines right now. And I think there's a lot of people that refuse to see more than one. And yet there are many that got to know tonight there is a third one. And when they get into the third one, that may reconcile the people that are law, grace, when the third one comes in, when Jesus comes in, when he says, I am the author, I am the finisher of your faith. Oh, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't argue points, come to the point. The sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the atonement, and the blood, and it will all run together into your veins, hallelujah. And the law that you used to have to keep, now you want to keep it, hallelujah. You don't have to stretch and strain. You don't have to clench your teeth and bug your eyes out and turn all blue, but you can just say, Jesus. And the law and the grace come together, and they start to flow because they've seen that one in the middle. Now they're not separate with their doctrine here and their doctrine there. They put them together and they put them in Jesus and it all comes out. And I thought to myself, many things are going to be revealed when we meet Jesus. And yet I thought some things are very clear. Salvation is of the Lord alone. Another thing that's very clear, that once you're saved, Jesus will never leave you. It says never, 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 never forsake you, never leave you. And I believe the very biggest revelation in the whole of my ministry was that Jesus is the issue. And now let's turn to the Christian life. Now all you that are born again here have entered into the kingdom of grace. People in the world will not understand you. People that come to church that aren't born again, they won't understand what you're talking about. They'll think that that preacher is some kind of a nut. And until they enter into the kingdom of heaven, until they enter into you must be born again, until they are born again, they know nothing of the spiritual life. And I believe all our thoughts and graces and actions ought to keep their proper position so that it might be said of them, neither shall one crowd another, they shall walk every one in his path. And so number one here, where I talked about just now, our thoughts. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us to keep our thoughts of God's word in harmony. Oh, how we need to harmonize with the Word of God. I started to think, oh, this doctrine is fine, but I believe that people despise the duties and the promises, and some value James and depreciate Paul, and some love the law, and some love the grace. Some want only to be spiritual and have no practicality whatsoever. A young lady came to me, and this has happened to me several times, and she came and she says, I'm going away, I'm going to a school. I says, that's fine. But you check out the school before you go. A young man came, I mean, a young woman came, and I mean, people come all the time. I said, but for God's sake, don't come out of that school walking with gowns flowing. You're so spiritual. Not real. Not able to cope with anything. Gowns flowing behind. I says, don't come out that way. If you're going to go out, I says, and furthermore, why don't you just stay here and do a work for the Lord? How much teaching do you have to have? How much schooling do you need? How many ways is there to be a mother? You just be a mother, isn't that right? How many ways is there to be a father? You just be a father. You do the best you can. You go on. God shows you. What if the fathers all went to school for 20 years just so they could be a father? Well, where would the kids be? And what if a mother had to do that? No, you make your mistakes and you have your ups and you have your downs, but you're still a father. That's right. And you're still a mother. You're not perfect, but neither are those kids. They're brats half the time, right? Right? Okay, give me a minute now. I'm winding down. Now, what have you said here tonight? I've said that sometimes people like to be into the spiritual thing because it's self-lifting. Well, it's really funny because we come on with the spiritual tones and everything, but actually we're giving credit to everyone else, but we're lifting ourselves. Ever seen somebody does that? Aren't they wonderful? And this one wonderful? And that one wonderful? Well, you're wonderful for saying they're wonderful. I mean, never once have I heard you say you're wonderful. You're always saying someone else is wonderful. But you're really wonderful. You know what I mean? You're wonderful, 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 wonderful. And then we have some that want to be experimental altogether. Some that want to be open-minded, and their mind is open to anything. Some want no laughter. Did you know that? There's Christians that want no laughter at all. Pastor Paul, I liked you, but then I listened to one of your tapes, and you laughed too much. All I said is, that's all right. You go to a preacher where they just give you threats, and I'll preach to the people that like to have a few laughs. So I says, I mean, we'll get along. We'll get along. You just go over there where someone threatens you all the time, and that's your bag. I mean, maybe that's the way you are. Some people like to be threatened. Someone like that finger in their face all the time. You know what I mean? Well, that's okay, isn't it? But wouldn't it be nice if you could balance the thing and you could like the finger in your face sometimes, but you'd also like to have a laugh? Ooh. And then I told a man on the phone, he said, but, you know, it's the laughing that gets me. I said, well, what gets you about the laughing? Well, I mean, you know, should you laugh? Why do you have to laugh? It was a real good message, and then you laughed. Well, I said, if it was a real good message, what'd you want me to do? Lay down and die? Yeah. How else could I respond but to have a good time? What I said to myself, and I thought, there's nothing more destructive than a doctrinal preacher with no practical and no experimental. See, we all can learn from the doctrinal, and we can all can learn from the practical, and we can all can learn from the experimental. And we can blend them all together and let not one crowd another, but allow each to go straight on its path. Whew. How many got 5 more minutes for me to finish this message? And so let me finish it. I believe the same should be true in the graces which we cultivate. Some are very faithful, but they are fault finders. You ever had somebody that's real faithful and they always come to work? Here's a new sister here tonight. Do you work someplace, honey? Where do you work? Are you working someplace?
I own my own business.
Okay. Do you have people that come into your business and they're real faithful and they're right on time? Click. And they're right on. They're just Johnny on the spot, but they're miserable. Do you know people that are faithful and they're right on time, but they don't have any love? How many know somebody like that? Well, if you have somebody working like that for you, you're better off to leave them go. Pretty soon they own your business. Hello? No, she's busy right now. You should never call at this certain time. I told you to call the hours, but so-and-so, and you know, pretty soon they take over your business. Pretty soon they run you out of business. How many are hearing this tonight? And they have a very unaffectionate spirit. No, not here. Sorry. Good day. Click. Burr. Huh? And that person will always warn you against your own weaknesses, but they'll do it in such a way that they kill you. They're faithful, but they kill you. Do you know what's wrong with you, if you don't mind me saying? I'm sorry, I'm just using it. If you don't mind me saying, according to the Word of God, and they kill you. They're faithful, and they're always, you know, they're not into sin all the time, but they kill you. They have a very unaffectionate spirit. And you can feel it when you walk into the room. There's no affection there, and you feel like, oh, no. and they're easily annoyed, and they'll let you know quickly. But if this person could get the balance in love and faithfulness, wouldn't that be great? And then we have those who are affectionate, nothing else. Oh, God. Oh, I hate to do it, but I got to do it. You ever been around somebody? That's the ones I can't stand. Oh, I can't stand it. I can't. They're melancholy. Very agreeable. They're lace curtains. They cock their heads like a faithful, affectionate dog listening to everything you say. And nothing but sweetness comes forth. They don't do the person any good. I say, why do you do this? Because people remember it. Have you ever met someone like that? They're not honest. And they're oversweet. It's the kind of person you wonder if they ever had dirty socks on in their whole of their life. You know what I mean? They just think they don't stink at all. You know what I mean? Now, if they could tell the truth and be sweet, it would be different. And everybody they talk to, they agree with. That's certainly so. And then they go over and they talk to somebody else. Exactly the opposite. Opposite. I've heard, I know what you mean. Huh? People pleasing boobs, you know what I mean? You see why we need balance? And whoever they have just spoken to, nothing but sweetness comes forth. I'll tell you, those people are very hard for me to bear. They are. They need some fidelity mixed with their sweetness. See, it takes the Spirit to lead us into all truth, and our graces must grow together. It says in the Bible, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I started to think about the fruit of the Spirit, and I thought all must grow on the love tree, separately but together. Meekness must have courage for balance. Affection must have fidelity for balance. We must be patient under affliction, but not so patient that we're sluggards. Have you ever seen someone that's patient and really has an excuse to go to sleep on the job? Oh, he's such a patient person. No, a lot of times he's just lazy. Oh, man, let it happen. Who cares, huh? Oh, there's got to be a balance. And so we have to couple with our patience energy. And then we have to order to manifest itself in a practical faith. And what is a practical faith after all, if it isn't a working faith? What good is a faith that doesn't work? I believe that there's going to be a mighty work done. And then they sit down. No, if you have faith in something working, you go in there and you grab the bull by the horns. You believe your business is going to prosper. Then you go in there like you mean business. You turn the key in that lock and you open up that door and you look around and you flip the lights on and you're ready for business. You don't go in there, well, no business yesterday. No, there'll probably be nothing happening today. And just go in there and sit in a chair and just be patient. People call it patient, but really it's just laziness, isn't it? Isn't that? You ever have people like that working with you? Oh, no, I knocked on several doors. No one was home. And they walked up. God, I hope nobody answers. Right? Oh, let me say one thing for Mr. Talkative. He can talk all about the way, the road to heaven, but he never gets on it. Oh, have you ever talked to people like that? And they always talk about heaven, but they never get on it? Huh? They're talking about it all the time. Heaven is a wonderful place, da, 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 huh? But they never get on the road. Oh, how we need to have balance in our preaching. It's an evil thing when a man's tongue also grows bigger than his head. Neither crowd one another. They shall walk everyone in his path, Joel 2 and 8. Balanced growth with no crowding. That'd be like you, if you had a child. Would you want that child to grow and have its arms grow rapidly and the rest not to grow? Wouldn't he be a freak? Or the legs to grow and he'd have two little arms hanging up here inside of it, just a little offshoots off his armpits? Would you want that? See, it's the growth of each limb in proportion that brings the man to perfection. Also, I think a lot of times people's heads grow faster than their hearts, and that's an ill sign. I see so many right now that they know more than they feel. They're walking computers, and they speak from their memory banks, and they criticize much more than they believe. And their head is much more bigger than their heart. I think it's an evil thing, like I said, when the tongue grows bigger than the person, than the head, because he has more to say than he knows. You ever been around somebody that has a whole lot to say, but he doesn't know anything? And may you never deserve our Lord's rebuke to the Pharisee. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. But whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. May you all tonight have all those things. The same proportions and balancing should be found in the Christian duties. Oh my, how many times do we see people that just fall apart when it comes to their duties? Are you hearing this? So a lot of women and a lot of men, they go out on these different excursions. They go to 12 different of these meetings around the country, one every month, and they leave their husband home. You know what I got to say to some of them gals? I told one gal on the phone, I says, you know something, you're gone so much of the time, and your husband has to eat all the box lunches and all those things you cook up and all them, what are them, TV dinners and everything. I says, you're gone all the time. I says, don't be surprised you come home and old Colonel Sanders would be in bed with your husband. You married Colonel Sanders. At least he'd get a square meal. You know what I mean? Oh, my. Let's have time for family devotions, and let's have time for family for church, and let's have time for closet prayers, and see, neither shall one crowd the other, they shall walk everyone in his path. And don't start to excuse yourself for not coming to church. Today I was talking to Mosette. Can I talk to you, Mosette? You're here tonight. And the Lord had spoken to Mosette to come down to the church. And so she called me up. She says, Brother Paul, the Lord has spoke to me and said, Mosette, I'm going to bring you down to mission. You're going to do a great mighty work down there. And also I'm going to use you to minister to people. Okay, if I say this? It's okay. So then Mosette called me up a couple times. She says, well, brother, I won't be able to make it in today. I says, don't tell me, tell God. God was the one to tell you to come down here. Don't tell me. I says, God is the one that's directing you. God told you to come down, right? If you're not coming down, your argument isn't with me, it's with God. So you have to give your excuse to God. You know where Mosette was today? She was down here working. And you know where Mosette's going to be Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday? She's going to be right down here working because she made a promise to God, not to me. So many times I've had people come into my church and say, oh, God sent me here. I just feel the Spirit of the Lord moving and so on like that. And I put them to work. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God leaves. I feel like running for my life. These people are dangerous. Say amen. God's called me to do this great work. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. No, I mean, literally by the hundreds of people since I've been down here the last 5 years, and God has called them. God has spoke to them, woke them up out of bed, shook me. My whole bed was shaking, one guy's. It was vibrating. And I went, what is it, God? What is it? He says, I want you to go down to disciples ministry and get into that great work down there. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, I obey. I obey. And he comes down in about, like 3 hours of work and off. See? Oh, how we need balance. Oh, how we need to let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Oh, how we need to proportion these balancings all the time in our duties, so that one would not crowd another, and they shall walk every one in this path. Have you heard this message tonight? Now I'm going to say something. A phone call came to me, and I'm closed now, but I just want to finish this one thing. Should a person work on Sunday? A person asked. Now I said, why are you asking me that question? What is your motive? What if Duff's would close? What if Perkins would close? And what if shopping would close? And you actually had to stay home on the day of rest and rest? Now, I leave you with that question, and you can answer me. The phone never rang again. See, because as much as we like to speak against working on Sunday, we like to have the fireman there when he's supposed to be there, and the policeman, and the waitress to wait on us, and when they go shopping, you're like, see, you're not supposed to get into those things. You're hearing what I'm saying? And they need to hear Joel 2 and 8. Neither shall one crowd the other. They shall walk everyone in his path. And so heaven is the first law. Heaven's first law is order. Did you get something out of this message tonight? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And now, the Word of God says that any preacher that doesn't minister gospel and doesn't minister Jesus Christ in season, out of season, when it's handy and when it isn't handy, is found faulty and will be judged accordingly. And so it's my job and my privilege here tonight to offer Jesus Christ to anyone that doesn't have him. They can just put up their hand and say, I would like to be born again. And the Word of God says, if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that will be saved. And you know what makes it so complicated in the heart? Because it's so simple. That's the simplicity of the gospel. You must be born again. Is there anyone here tonight doesn't know for sure? Well, just put up your hand and say, would you come pray with me? It'll only take 30 seconds. I believe I need Jesus in my heart. It's just admitting you're a sinner and you need Jesus to come in and help you. By the way, there's only one way to get to heaven. Jesus says, I am the door, the way, the truth, and life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. So tonight is your great opportunity to come to Jesus. You listening on the radio this afternoon, it should be about almost 2 o'clock. It's your opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. Is there anyone in here right now that doesn't know for sure if they're saved again? It's not going to church. It's not being a good guy. It's knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Are you born again, honey? Okay. Anyone in here? I don't know everybody. Do you mind me asking? Are you born again, dear? Okay. Okay. I'm sure glad you came tonight. God bless you real good. Look like you're a person that's done some living and enjoyed. You enjoy life? So-so, huh? Yeah, so-so. It gets better as the more you depend on the Lord, the greater it gets. And you find out. Then, you know, once you receive Jesus, of course, if you're saved, you know this, all things make sense. Before I was born again, nothing made sense. But after I was born again, all things started making sense. And I started, wow, now I understand why this happened and that. And all things I found out were working together for good for them that love the Lord. And I thought, that's why that happened and this happened. It all came about to the bringing in of my soul for me to be born again. All those things happened. And all those tragedies I thought were tragedies and all those things that were nonsense and all those things, they all moved in on me and they brought me to Jesus. And I just say, praise the Lord for that. Anyone in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus, have I missed anybody? You can just put your hand up if you feel like you want Jesus. But don't lay this message down. You must be born again. Are you born again, honey? Okay. Okay. Oh. Doesn't the world say it? Order in the court. Well, there's order in the courts of heaven, too. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad there's order? Just think, tomorrow morning, there ain't going to be no surprises. The sun's going to come up. Oh, what would you like to sing for a closer?
Thank you for joining today's episode 26, Heaven's Order. You can call the audio comment line. That number is 1-715-808-0318, or send me an email to janine@pastorpaul.org. You can also make a tax-deductible donation on the homepage, www.pastorpaul.org. Have a great week. So we